Calling all benders and non-benders alike, dive into the epic world of Avatar with your favorite podcast, Avatar, Braving the Elements.
Hosted by me, Janet Varney, the voice of Avatar Korra.
And me, Dante Bosco, the voice of Prince Zuko.
Each week, we'll explore a new episode of The Legend of Korra.
Find your balance as we uncover breaking news, trivia, special guests, and so much more.
I mean, I've got some flameo hot takes that'll really light a spark. Follow and listen to Avatar Braving the Elements on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, I need you to just take a second. I know it's early. I know we're just getting the day started. I know that you're probably going through your AM routine. Maybe you're one of the early risers. You've already been up and run your 5K this morning. Maybe you're out there a little south of the GVL and you've gotten up and fed the chickens and milked the cows already. Maybe you're one of those big city business folks. You're sitting at the kitchen table reading the stock market report or whatever you read in the mornings. All right, you got your Wall Street Journal out. You're sipping your very high-end French coffee out of the tiny little coffee cup. Whatever it is that you're doing, I need you to just stop for a second. I need you to just take a seat. I need you to take one deep breath, and I need you to allow yourself to enjoy a moment of raw, unbridled happiness. Because, ladies and gentlemen, because America, finally, it is football day. I don't care if it's a bunch of guys we've never heard of. I don't care if it's a bunch of guys that we'll never hear of again. I don't care if the starters for the Lions and the Chargers play 60 seconds or 60 snaps or 60 minutes. I don't care. I care that at 8 p.m., this evening, Eastern Standard Time, two professional American sports teams are going to gather in Canton, Ohio. And half of them are going to stand over there, and half of them are going to stand over there. And some dude in a striped shirt and a white hat is going to put his hand in the air. He's going to blow a whistle. And some skinny dude that otherwise does not fit in amongst these men is going to throw his hand up in the air. Then he's going to approach a football. He's going to kick the crap out of it. He's going to send it 70 yards the other way. Another dude is going to catch that football. And then 22 men are going to run at each other, collide into each other, knock the hell out of each other, and all of us, collectively, as a nation, as a country, we are all, for 2.5 to 3 hours and 15 beautiful minutes, we're all going to be together on the same page. In an era where this country is defined by polarization. In an era where everybody argues about everything. Ketchup, good, bad. Pineapple on pizza. The president, the Senate, the Congress, the judges. We fight about everything. But tonight, at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, all of that's getting put to bed for just a few minutes. Tonight, at 8 p.m., all of that goes to the back of the brain. Tonight at 8 p.m., we're not talking politics. We're not talking religion. We're not talking food. We're not talking drinks. We're not talking music or movies or anything else that we fight over. Tonight at 8 p.m., from the East Coast to the West, the Atlantic to the Pacific, from the Appalachian to the Rockies, and at all points in between, there is one and only one thing that matters. Football is back, baby. Okay, I feel good. I feel good. Got it off the chest. All right. I didn't mean to get preachy there. But if I was ever gonna turn on this microphone, if I was ever going to risk the long-term hearing of the great one Lonzo to just shout relentlessly for 5 minutes and 45 seconds about any topic, I feel like that was a pretty good one to do it.
Yeah, the only thing I disagree with you on is we're all going to watch the first quarter.
Who's not going to watch the first quarter?
No, we're all going to watch the first quarter,
The
entire game.
Oh, no, I'll be there every snap. I'm going to go ahead and tell you, I told the great one when I rolled up here, when I left the Fortress of Nerditude and I made my way over here to the studio, when I sat down, I said, you know what, great one, I got to be honest with you, just in case, because this impacts you more than it impacts me. This impacts your ability to do your job. This impacts the job that you have to do more than it impacts me. Old Robbie B didn't get a great night of sleep last night. Wasn't my fault. Well, it was very much my fault. I didn't go to bed till like midnight. I stayed up. I watched a little WNBA. I watched a little baseball. Not the Braves, because why would I? Yeah, I agree. I didn't go to bed till midnight. And that's okay. It happens sometimes. All right. I get my 3.5-4 hours. It just means I got to take a siesta the next day. And I'm good with that, you know? So I didn't go to bed till like midnight. By the way, the lady friend was working. If she's in the bedroom, tap, 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 tap on the laptop. All right. Because one of the many things we have in common, and I think Zoe will attest to this as well, I have been described before as an angry typer. All right. I tap hard enough on the laptop that I probably should not have a company issued computer.
Well, certain circumstances make it worse, but yeah.
That's fair and entirely true. So the wife's the same way. She's kind of an angry typer. She's gonna fight me on that. And I don't think she's up and listening. And if she is, she's probably gonna text me and be like, "Hey, you lying son of a..." She's an angry typer. So if she, because she has a real adult job, like a grown-up job, not like me and Zoe, who have both been in this career for a very long time, because we get to show up wearing soccer jerseys and wrestling t-shirts. Our job's amazing.
And sandals. Don't forget that part. I'm not showing you my feet because it freaks Rob out. But anyway.
She was working. I'm in the other room. I got the WNBA on TV. I got two different baseball games on my two laptops, playing a little Vidya games on the big TV. And when she said, "All right, I'm done," I said, "All right, night, night." And I looked over. I was like, "Oh, damn, it's midnight. That's all right. It's fine. No big deal. It happens sometimes." So I went to bed. And then sometime around 1:45, 2 a.m., our power went out. Not for very long. Just for a little while. I don't know what caused it. I don't know if like somebody put their car into a power pole or a transformer blew.
Nah, our power went out somewhere around 8 o'clock. So just for a brief moment, some mean storms rolled through.
Some mean storms did roll through. So I genuinely don't know what caused it, but the power went out. And the dogs, being dogs, responded to it. They were not happy. Well, that's the big dog. The little dog's got a much more high-pitched bark. So it's like, you got like two different wavelengths. It jolted me awake. And
were they in harmony?
Oh, God, no. God, no. About anything ever, by the way. So the two dogs are losing their gosh darn minds in the middle of the night. And you all have experienced that lovely little moment where you are jolted awake from a deep sleep, and it's just raw, unbridled adrenaline. You know what I'm talking about. Like a feeling that Red Bull wishes they could figure out how to carbonize and put into a can because they become the most valuable company on earth.
Yeah, I got to fight something. I don't know what it is, but I got to fight something. Yeah.
You know the feeling I'm talking about. It was that kind of jolted awake. And so I wake up, and it's go time. I'm up now. And it's, again, it's like 2 o'clock in the morning. Well, wouldn't you know it? Oh, Robbie B. couldn't go back to sleep until about 2:45 in the morning for his alarm to pop off. Now, I even said, you know what? I'm going to give myself an extra 15 minutes on the back end. I moved the alarm from my normal 3:30 spot back to 3:50. I'm like, I'll just speed up the AM process. I'll just speed up the morning routine a little bit, but I'll give myself an extra 20 minutes of nighttime sleep of an hour and a half to almost 2 hours. Didn't go back to sleep till like 2:45. Alarm hits at 10 till 4. And I wake up and forgot that I had moved the alarm and promised myself I'd speed up the morning routine. So I wake up in just a full-on panic. Oh, God, I'm running late. Get up, fly through the shower. Did not get to take my morning hot as the devil's undercarriage shower. It's my favorite part of the day. Is that AM shower that's blistering hot. It's the best part of the day. Didn't get to enjoy that. I did have to stop up and pick up, for the record, the first monster that I've had since I came back from Charlotte. All right. I was like, nope, breaking the streak. Don't care. Stop, came here, blah, blah. Got stuck behind slow car guy. I got to give him a little credit today, though. Because when I caught up to slow car guy today, there were, I counted, because I had time. I was driving at a walking pace. There were 6 cars stacked up behind him. Six cars stacked up on behind him on Haywood today. And I'm going to give him credit because at least today he pulled over into the middle neutral lane and he let us all pass before he pulled back out to snail's crawl. Just walk, dude. It'll be the same speed. Got here.
That is so weird.
It was weird. I preached, for the record, this time. I gave him the old two-finger, like, appreciate it, little kind of
sign. As opposed to the one finger that you normally get.
100%.
Okay.
1,000%.
Maybe he saw it was you and panicked.
No, I was 6 cars back. He couldn't.
Oh, okay. All right.
Point here is, last night sucked a lot for me. And most of the time, when I have a night like that, when I get in here, the great one can tell. Because there's two things. Number one, I'm a grouchy S of a B. Number two, my sports flash is all jacked up to hell, and Lonzo has to turn into a Harvard literature professor to figure out what I meant, what words I was trying to type, and get it all fixed and corrected in time for the first sports flash at 7 a.m. Neither of those things true. I strolled in this place today like it was the opening scene and I was the guest star on Sesame Street and I get to work with Cookie and Elmo. Just happy as a clam, man. I rolled up into this bad boy today like I hit the lottery last night. Bouncy. Saw Fat Boy down in the park and I'm like, what's up, you handsome son of a you-know-what? He's like, what? You good? Like, I'm great, bud. I am fantastic. How are you? Came upstairs today. Saw like 3 people in the hallway. Every one of them. Including people, because they're not morning people, although we all work in the morning. There are some people that work here in the AM. They're not what we in the biz call morning people. They don't want to talk to you in the morning. Which I get it. I understand.
Yeah, Tara doesn't really talk to anybody, so you
That's also fair. But I wasn't talking about that. There's a lot of people that work in various parts of the building. All not right. really morning people. And they're not mean, but they're just like...
She walks with a purpose. It has nothing to do with being unfriendly.
For sure. Yeah, not her. But there's other people here in the building who work here in the AM. And for the record, I'm not a morning guy either. Except today. Today I am. And I walked down the hall and I saw someone that I know isn't a morning person. That even though... As Lonzo has pointed out, it's uncomfortable for me to see someone and not greet them. I did it this morning. Lonzo walks in, didn't say anything up front because I'm trying to get better about like not needing to fill silence with noise. But even today, he walked in, and after like a minute, I'm like, I can't do it. Hello! I can't help myself. I saw this person who I know is not a morning person, doesn't want to have a conversation in the AM, and as they turned the corner, I looked and I went, beautiful day, what's up? Couldn't help me. Beautiful day. What's up? Who says that? I do. I do on this day because it's a beautiful day because, again, not 14 hours from now, ladies and gentlemen, 13 hours and 45 minutes from now, you, me, and all of you beautiful patriots across these great United States are going to sit down, click on the big screen, pop open the beverage of your choice, and we're going to watch the Lions and the Chadges get it started. We're going to watch two head coaches who have a lot to prove in Dan Campbell and Jim Harbaugh. We're going to watch a couple of quarterbacks who have a lot to prove, I assume, in Jared Goff and Justin Herbert.
I don't think Justin Herbert's playing. Pretty sure.
In Jared Goff and whoever's going to start for the line for the Chargers.
Looking it up, and I think it might be Taylor Heineke. So,
don't care. Give him a shot. Hey,
I love Heineke. By the way, I'm talking about the player. He, I think he's amazing for at least a few plays every time he gets in a game.
I don't care who it is, and let me tell you why. Actually, you know what? I'm not going to tell you why right now. We're going to take a break, and when I come back, I would like to talk to you, all of you, America, about why, if you are one of these people who has spent the last however many months or the last 16 minutes going, it's a preseason game, who cares, dummy?
We're going to get to see Hendon Hooker play. Who doesn't want to see that?
Actually, I really do.
Yeah, yeah.
I kind of really do. Your man out of Tennessee blew his ACL. Yeah. I had real high hopes. I'm actually interested because he went to New England. For a hot minute, there were some folks going, maybe Hendon Hooker's a dude. Maybe he's a guy. He had a lot to learn. The very rough QB1 around the edges when he got drafted. But a lot of people very interested, me being one of them. So when we come back, I know that there are some of you who are saying, Rob, it's preseason. Who cares? You dummy. And I know that because we just got a text on the Hub City Smart Burger text line at 844-326-3663 that says, hey, Rob Brown, it's a preseason game. Who cares, you dummy? Direct quote. So, texter, and all of you who agree with him, when we come back here in just a minute, I am, for the final time in 2025, I'm going to tell you why preseason games are actually awesome. I'm not talking about if you're a hardcore like me and we're going to be breaking down X's and O's, I might very well, depending on who starts on what side and how deep they go, we might even pop up a little film room with Rob Brown tonight. Haven't done one of those in a while because it's been the offseason. We might pop up a little game film tonight, little recap, maybe pick a play we really like that works and break down into why it worked and why it was awesome. I'm talking about just from the standpoint of dudes and chicks who like football. I'm going to tell you why when we come back. If you think preseason football isn't worth the time, you're flat out unquestionably wrong. Because you are. And I'll tell you why next. He's the great one, Lonzo. I am Rob Brown. It is going to be 4 hours of raw electricity because y'all, football is back. And after this break, so is the Rob Brown Show here on the Fan Upstate. Nailed the segue.
Calling all benders and non-benders alike. Dive into the epic world of Avatar with your favorite podcast, Avatar, Braving the Elements.
Hosted by me, Janet Varney, the voice of Avatar Korra.
And me, Dante Bosco, the voice of Prince Zuko.
Each week, we'll explore a new episode of The Legend of Korra.
Find your balance as we uncover breaking news, trivia, special guests, and so much more.
I mean, I've got some flamio hot takes that'll really light a spark. Follow and listen to Avatar Braving the Elements on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The NFL Hall of Fame game is tonight, 8 p.m., live from Tom Benson Stadium in Canton, Ohio, home of, and this may or may not be a surprise, the NFL's Hall of Fame.
Also where Camp McKinley High School plays their football, if they still do. And I have been there for a Camp McKinley High School game. It's Canton versus Maslin. And I realized I was in high school at the time that I was glad that we didn't play either Canton or Maslin because they look like a college football team.
I assume if you play like in that spot in the Midwest, I'm coming to this. There's a reason that I said that. Cam Newton had a take the other day. He got asked on his podcast by his producer or somebody, what state in 2025 is producing the best and most talented football players overall? And the ordinary answers are always Texas, California, Florida. Those are the three states that always get mentioned. And Cam said he thinks that it's gotten to a point where there's like different spots that produce one position.
That's always ticked me off when I've heard that.
Yeah, I think if you look, and I think somebody did this a couple of years ago. I'll see if I can find it. But somebody actually went and they looked, and you can see a correlation between number of stars on average per recruit, and Texas, California, and Florida are always in the top three. But Cam said, yeah, and it's kind of position by position. Like, if you want big, strong linemen, you go to the Midwest. If you want big tight ends, you go up to, like, Iowa, Nebraska. But he said if you could only recruit out of one state, like you were only allowed to take players from one state, Georgia is now the state that you would want to go to. And I don't think it's terribly unfair. I think Ohio is probably in that produces big mean dudes category. So, Canton, Ohio tonight, NFL Hall of Fame game. I am being very sincere when I tell you, I absolutely love, adore the NFL preseason. I am a huge fan. And I am a big fan of the NFL's preseason for two reasons. The first is, and this is the side that I think is not going to appeal to people who watch football casually. Again, not an insult. That's the overwhelming majority of people who watch football. I think the people who watch football casually, as was stated in the excellent movie, which we have to talk about later because holy crap, the numbers, Happy Gilmore 2. There's kind of this, without giving spoiler alert away, there is a part of the plot is the PGA Tour is up against this new aspiring fun league of golf that's trying to replace the PGA. And one of the hooks of that, again, not important in the movie, it's just kind of a throwaway line, but one of the people says to the, in the movie, acting commissioner of the PGA Tour, people watch the PGA Tour because they want to watch the best. And how many times have we said that on this show? We want to watch the best, no matter what we're talking about. Basketball, soccer, hockey, football, doesn't matter what we're talking about. We as Americans, we want to watch the best at whatever the thing is that we're talking about. And it's relatively obvious when we're not. You want to know the reason that no matter how hard they try, you can't get a spring football league off the ground? It's not because there's not good players. It's not because there's not good competition. It's because we as Americans know that these guys aren't the best. And to ask us to take time out of our very busy lives to watch a thing, we want to watch the best. So I understand that a lot of people are kind of turned off to an NFL preseason game because the guys that are playing, with the exception of a few minutes early in a game, aren't the best. Let me tell you why that's kind of irrelevant for this. Because if the number one thing that we want to watch is the best, if that's the hook, if that's the thing that gets you, I think the second thing that makes us tune into and love sports is some combination of drama or love of the game, or maybe a little bit of both. You're getting both tonight. You're getting both every NFL preseason game. There are going to be, on the field tonight, and on the field for every NFL preseason game, for the next 4 weeks as we roll through it, because we've got tonight, then we've got 7 days to wait until next Thursday when we have, what, four games, I think? And then we got a handful of games on Friday, and then we got a handful more on Saturday, and then we got a few on Sunday, three on Sunday. Every one of those games should be, I think, interesting to you. The reason why is, yes, we love to watch the best.
By the way, I think the Panthers' first game is next Friday.
Correct. Correct. Saints' next game, first game is the final game on Sunday of next week. Your Chiefs are Saturday, I believe, their first preseason game. We want to watch the best. We tune in for the best. If it ain't the best, we don't want to watch it or tune in. And I understand that for these preseason games, the overwhelming majority of snaps taken on these NFL fields will not be by the best in the NFL. It doesn't matter. It's still going to be fantastic. Because if wanting to watch the best isn't it for you, one of the things that I have heard out of college football fans for years, because I am self-admitted, and I understand that this is to some degree blasphemous across a good chunk of the southern United States of America, I'm an NFL first guy. So is the great one, Lonzo. Doesn't mean we don't love college football. We do. But it's like 1A, 1B. I'm an NFL guy first. I do love college football. And across the many markets I broadcasted in and to across my 18-year career, coming up on 18-year career, one of the things I get hit with why college is better than the NFL is, well, Rob, it's about the passion. It's about the love of the game. The boys out there on Saturdays are playing for love of the game. The guys on Sunday are playing for money. The guys who are playing the game tonight, for the majority of it, next week, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, all those games, for the majority of it, they are going to be playing not just for the passion and the love of the game. They're going to be playing for their ability to have a job.
They're playing for the dream.
They're playing for a dream.
They're one step away from the dream.
You know what else they're one step away from? Not a dream. For many of them, perhaps a nightmare. Because, especially for the younger guys in the league, there are going to be some vets that have been, you know, up and down from practice squads to roster, roster to practice squad. Maybe journeymen, they've played for 8, 9, 10 different teams around the league, and those guys are also fighting for a job. But there's a lot of young guys that are going to be out there tonight and across 16 preseason games next Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And these are guys, if you make it to the NFL, rare is the cat who makes it to the NFL who hasn't been playing football for 10, 12 years of their life at this point. And for a lot of those guys, the way they got good enough to even be considered to be worthy of making a preseason roster to try to make a regular season roster is by eating, sleeping, breathing, living, loving football for all that time. Which means that if you have been living, breathing, sleeping, eating, and loving football for all that time, you probably really haven't done much else. I mean, you may have some hobbies, and maybe you participated in some groups or some clubs in college or whatever, but most of these guys, football has been their life, their identity. It's who and what they are. And they're one of the best 250, 300, 400 players of the game on planet Earth, but there's only room on an active roster for 53 guys 32 times. I'm real bad at math, but that's a lot of guys, but it's like not a lot of guys. That's all the roster spots they got. So when these cats take to the gridiron tonight, when 16 teams take to the gridiron next Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, there's going to be a lot of dudes on that squad, on those squads, who recognize if I step between those lines tonight and I suck, if I step between those lines tonight and I don't wreck, I don't show the absolute best I'm capable of, and for many of them, even if they do, it is not I won't make the team. It is not I won't make the dance. It is I might be done. That might be a wrap on my career. That's all. And I'm going to tell you, I don't know that you could get a guy to give you more from sideline to sideline, goal line to goal line for four quarters of NFL football than to say, if you are one of the best 53 players that we can sign to our 53-man roster in 5 weeks from now when the NFL regular season kicks off, if you are one of those 53, you get to keep doing this for a living. Probably make good money. Because practice squad guys, what? They get like $500,000 now to be on the practice squad. You make the active roster, you're making $1 million a year, all things considered. If you are one of the best 53, you get to live the dream for one more year. But if you're not, you don't get to. And if you don't and you don't get to, you may not get to play this game anymore. I told the story a couple of weeks ago of my co-host on Saturday's Bet for the Cycle, Cody Decker, who was a Major League Baseball player. And he'll tell you, he was a minor league call-up to have a body on the Major League roster guy. That's the type of dude you're going to see on the field tonight. And Deck was telling the story of his final year. He was in the batting cage taking BP. A heater came by. It hit the back post of the cage, ricocheted off, pow, right in the back of the noggin. KO'd him, flat, cold stone out. And when he came to, he knew he wasn't right. He knew the old cage got rattled. And when he came to from the cage getting rattled, and the trainers came over and they said, "How you doing, buddy?" Even in his rattled state, he recognized, if I tell them I'm anything but great, they're going to sit me down. If they sit me down, I can't perform. If I can't perform, I can't make the roster. If I can't make the roster, I'm done in baseball. So what do you think Cody Decker said to him? "I'm great, guys. In fact, I might be better than I've ever been before. Let's find out." That's the mentality of a lot of the guys who we're going to take to the field tonight. And if that isn't enough for you to say, I should tune in and watch, to watch a bunch of dudes fighting for their lives and their careers, I don't know what would be. I don't know what's going to hook you. That's why your boy is jacked through the roof. With 13 hours and 25 more minutes to go until kickoff. Am I counting minute by minute? Absolutely. Yeah, no, for sure. I definitely am. He's Lonzo. I'm Rob. The Rob Brown Show is on your radio. It is the Fan Upstate.
Calling all benders and non-benders alike. Dive into the epic world of Avatar with your favorite podcast, Avatar, Braving the Elements.
Hosted by me, Janet Varney, the voice of Avatar Korra.
And me, Dante Bosco, the voice of Prince Zuko.
Each week, we'll explore a new episode of The Legend of Korra.
Find your balance as we uncover breaking news, trivia, special guests, and so much more.
I mean, I've got some flamio hot takes that'll really light a spark. Follow and listen to Avatar Braving the Elements on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Rob Brown Show back on your radio. It is the Fan Upstate. Thank you, Mr. Deep-Voiced Announcer Guy. We appreciate the intro, as we always do. We, being myself, Rob Brown, being Hey the Great One Lonzo, let me tell you how you get in touch with the show this morning, since I have largely failed to do that so far. 844-326-3663, 844-FANFONE. That's how you text the show. We'll read them on the air. That's how you call the show. We'll put you on the air. You can also hit us up on the social media. Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, if that's your thing. At The Rob Brown Show, if you want to get to me. That's Instagram, that's Twitter, that's Facebook, that's TikTok, that's all of them. At Lonzo on Word is how you get to the great one on Twitter, if you want to shoot him a message.
And on Facebook, by the way.
And on Facebook. I didn't know if your Facebook's like a, because it's like a halfway, it's like a kind of in kayfabe, kind of not thing.
Yeah, we were required back in the day to put that tagline on there, and I've just never changed it. So
fair enough.
It's not laziness. It's there, whatever. But yeah, it's the same on both of those.
You can hit the great one at Lonzo on Word if you want to come at us in that direction. I would like to take just a minute and recognize a college football team that is doing something that I think is a spectacular idea. Arizona State University is coached by Kenny Dillingham. Now, Arizona State, of course, made a run last year, carried by the tree trunk thighs of one Cam Scataboo, who I'm a big fan of. I'm actually pretty interested to see what he can do in the league. But Cam Scataboo carried that team all the way to the NCAA college football playoffs last year. And part of the reason he was able to do so is because, and I do believe this is true, said it last year, said it again this year, and this is the reason I have selected Arizona State to win the Big 12 this year. I think there's some competition. No Cam Scataboo. I think the gap closed a little bit. We'll find out. I think Kenny Dillingham is one of the best coaches in college football. And one of the reasons that I think Kenny Dillingham is one of the best coaches in college football is I think this dude gets it. It, in this case, being one of the things that I think in 2025 is probably a requirement to be a successful head coach. And that is the ability to communicate with the bubble of your school. I am talking about communicate with kids coming out of high school about what your program is, what your culture is, and how they're going to fit into it. I think the ability to communicate to kids on the team about why it is that they should stay or maybe they shouldn't stay. It's the ability to communicate with coaches, but there is always one group of people that I think a lot of coaches understand they need to talk to, but maybe don't, or in a lot of cases, can't. And that's the fans. That's the people who would give you money so that your program can thrive and get to the point that you're showing up in college football playoffs and getting more money so that you can thrive more and show up in more college football playoffs and get, follow along, more money. I think the ability to communicate with the fans and do so in their language. And you know what I mean? Like every fan base has their language that they speak. It's unique to that culture, to that school. Well, we all know that the Arizona State Sun Devils take great pride in being one of the top party schools in America. It's a thing for them. They love it. And hell yeah, why wouldn't you, man? Like, that's a recruiting pitch for a lot of kids, students, and players. You come here, we're going to give you a great education, but you're also going to have the time to party, all right? It's known, and for some kids, that's what they're looking for.
How many of your friends in high school decided to go to the party college?
Well, I was a couple of hours from Tallahassee, Florida, and I know the answer's not zero.
Okay, because I had a bunch of guys, oh, you got to come here. It's like, this is the party school. It's like, dude, why would I go there?
Yeah. Again, it's not for everybody, but I also say that if every school is successful in having its own culture, by definition of the word culture, it's not going to be for everybody, which is why I've also said the most important thing I think a lot of colleges can do is understand what their culture is and lean into that. Brent Key at Georgia Tech during ACC Media Days last week, he said something that I actually meant to get to. I actually think I brought it up very briefly. But he said one of the things that he is most proud of right now at Georgia Tech is, do you know what they've decided to do with their football program? To heavy lean into science and technology helping out football. They're going to the engineers at Georgia Tech and going,
it is a tech school.
It's a tech school.
It kind of makes sense.
He's going to the engineers and the scientists at Georgia Tech, and he's going, help us be a better football team. He said he believes that Georgia Tech has used science and engineering more than any other school in America to make the football team better. And I'm going to tell you right now, this is going to be fun, because I'm going to tell you coming up here in a few minutes, the ACC media poll came out, the results last night. Georgia Tech is ranked ahead of Louisville to win the conference this year.
You know what it'll never do? It'll never help them beat this.
Maybe not. The old
you're going to get this.
Meow and cow offense. There it is.
There we go.
I'll commit it to memory eventually. Now, why do I bring up this conversation with Kenny Dillingham at the lead? Because yesterday, two days ago, old Kenny D got in front of a microphone. And he said something that I think is super interesting. He said something that I am fascinated with and I'm going to follow. And he said something that it's not going to click to everybody. You know who it will, click for? Fans of a perennial top five school known for the Partey. No, I did it right. Why did it not play? I did it right. I set it up. Let me change
the
it
lead
back.
In was excellent.
I know.
You know, and you can also like cover, but I mean, you could do that.
No, because I said, and it's this, and then it didn't play. Hang on. I'm bringing up my other thing that allows me to play sound.
So right now, I'm trying to help you cover.
No, I know. Listen, I'm a big fan of own it. I'm a big fan of accountability. I thought I had everything set up. Clearly, I screwed the pooch. So let me try that again. Fingers crossed this works from Kenny Dillingham. What the hell are you talking about, nerd? He just said that they want to build a $5 million football practice facility indoor, so they've got their spot because it's Arizona. It's very hot. But on game days, he wants to turn that open to the Arizona State Sun Devil fans and allow them to come in and tailgate and do funnels and shotgun, yada, yada, yada.
I thought we were still talking about Georgia Tech, and I was just picturing a bunch of drunked up nerds and wondering what that would be like. That's all.
Arizona State.
Not nerds. Okay, my bad.
Opposite of nerds. I love this so much. I love this so much because Arizona State understands who their fans are, understands what their culture is, understands what's going to get those people jacked up. So here's the thing. You want a $5 million indoor practice facility? Something that most schools... Power schools, big schools, most schools, and actually a lot of little ones too, are well on their way to getting, and that most coaches that I've listened to, talked to, whatever, have said kind of a requirement if you want to be a good football team. You need the ability to have a place where, yeah, we can go outside in the heat and the summer sweltering temperatures and like get our conditioning up, but also we need a place we can go inside and control the elements, because if we're going to work on precision and route running and timing and all that, like, we need it to be 72 and sunny so we can get that down and then we can transfer it outside of the heat. In order to make that happen, you almost have to have fans willing to give money to the program and say, for the long-term benefit of the football program, here's mucho dinero. How do you do that? What's the best way to do that? Arizona State just figured out their way of doing that. And that is to say, look, Sun Devils fans, we need your money to do this thing that's going to make the football team better. But we want to give back to you for investing in that. So on Saturdays, that indoor practice facility, we're going to turn it into your tailgating spot. We're going to let you come in. Now, I don't know what that looks like. I had a picture in my head of what if... Because I've been in Clemson's indoor facility a few times. What if that was next to the stadium? And what if on game day Saturdays, they rolled up the side. It was like a big garage door. I don't know why this is what I pictured. Big garage door. They rolled up the field. And inside the practice field, they had a bunch of big squares painted off in the ground. And you, if you donated to this facility, you got 1 or 4 or 8 or 12 games, whatever, a year, that you had a dedicated tailgating spot in the facility. And if I'm Arizona State and they build this thing next to the stadium, which it sounds like he wanted to, you know what I'm doing? You know how a lot of schools do like their walk at like game, like they do the Gamecock walk in Columbia, where the football team goes from the facility and they walk into Willie B, but they allow the fans to like line the runway and they walk and high five and take pictures and all that. I'm doing that right through the middle of that facility. If you donate to build this indoor practice facility that we want and need, and you donate to it, we're going to put your name in a bucket. In every game, we're going to have 50, 75, 100 tailgating spots in this facility. And if you donate, whether it's $5, $50, $500, $5,000, if you donate, your name goes into a lottery. Maybe you do it where it's like every $100 you donate, your name goes in one more time. And every home game, we're going to draw 100 slips off that lottery. And if you get picked, you get a tailgate spot inside the facility. And the team's going to walk through there, and the coaches are going to come out, and the basketball team, the head coach, and they're going to come. Make it a thing. And you heard him describe it as, we want it to be the 16th hole of the Waste Management Open, which is the only individual hole in golf that gets talked about specifically on this show annually. Because it's a freaking party, dude. Because it looks like a blast. So this is what I mean when I say, if you want to be a successful program, and I think Clemson and South Carolina, and I'm not blowing smoke, I mean this, I think Clemson and South Carolina are two of the best at this aspect. You have to understand your school's culture. You have to understand your fans' culture, how they interact. And you've got to all the way buy into that. You got to go all in on that. You've got to make the fans feel like this team really does represent me and us and our community and our school and yada, yada, yada. Because that's how you get buy-in. Here's Kenny Dillingham recognizing, understanding that Arizona State fans are damn proud of being known as one of the best party schools in America. They embrace that identity. So, in order to raise money for the indoor practice facility that they want and need, how does he pitch it to the Sun Devils fans? Hey, if you guys will throw just a little bit of cash, just like $5 million, if you'll throw a little bit of cash at us, we're going to build this facility, which will make us a better football team, but also, we are going to make it an absolute unbridled party zone that you will get access to. If I'm a Sun Devils fan and they say we want a facility, I'm like, nah, okay, cool, good luck. If I'm a Sun Devils fan, they say we want a facility and you can come tailgate at it and party with it with so-and-so and so-and-so, I'm sending $100 just for a chance to make that happen. That's brilliant. That's what I'm talking about. Oregon did something similar. I'm going to tell you about that coming up in the next hour because I promise you, especially you old heads with long hair, you're going to love this. What the hell is he talking about? Come back next hour and find out. Stick around for the next 60 seconds. For the best 60 seconds of your day, Lonzo Sports Flash.
I'm kind of offended. He said old heads with long hair, and he pointed at me. The Atlanta Braves dropped their series against the Royals 2-1 with a 10-inning, 1-0 loss yesterday afternoon. Joey Wentz got the start, going 6.2 innings with only one hit and 7 strikeouts. Kansas City used 9 pitchers with only one throwing more than one inning. The Clemson Tigers were the media selection to win the conference after last week's ACC Media Days. 183 ballots were submitted, with Clemson picked first on 167 of them. Miami and SMU were selected second and third, followed by Georgia Tech, Louisville, Duke, FSU, and North Carolina. The MLB trade deadline is today at 4 p.m. Yesterday, Philadelphia acquired reliever Johan Duran from the Twins in return for Eduardo Tate and rookie hurler Mike Abel. The Mets traded 3 minor leaguers for all-star reliever Ryan Helsley and Tyler Rogers from the Giants for 3 developmental players.
Calling all benders and non-benders alike. Dive into the epic world of Avatar with your favorite podcast, Avatar, Braving the Elements.
Hosted by me, Janet Varney, the voice of Avatar Korra.
And me, Dante Bosco, the voice of Prince Zuko.
Each week, we'll explore a new episode of The Legend of Korra.
Find your balance as we uncover breaking news, trivia, special guests, and so much more.
I mean, I've got some flameo hot takes that'll really light a spark. Follow and listen to Avatar, Braving the Elements on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.